Well, hello, friend. How you doing? I hope you are doing well. Me? I'm not too bad. I know I've been away for a little bit. I wanted to start doing this a lot more frequently, but, you know, life, sometimes it gets in the way. And in my case, that's what happened. It's okay. I'm fine. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suffering horribly or anything, but had a lot of changes recently and, well, you know, still trying to cope with some of them. But enough about me. Let's get into the show, shall we? For those of you who may be new to this is Songs and Stories, Supplemental Jazz Edition. This is part 86. This is an ongoing series, a deep dive into jazz. 5 songs, 5 stories about 5 artists and their compositions, the lives they led, the music they wrote, and the places they went. We're going to kick things off today with a classic from the 1965 album Cornbread, recorded by the late, great Lee Morgan, who sadly passed away in 1972 at the very young age of 33. Not so much that he passed away, he was, you know, removed from this earth by an ex-girlfriend. Anyway, I understand it was his live-in girlfriend, sorry, at the time. Helen Moore, she shot him between sets at a Slug Saloon, a jazz club in New York City's East Village, February 19th, 1972. Brought an end to a promising musician who wrote some great music and performed many great songs. This is from the album, like I said, Cornbread, released at the end of January 67, but it was recorded on September 18th in a single day, 1965, at the Van Gelder Studio in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. From that album, Cornbread, this particular track is titled Ciora. Thank you. Lee Morgan from the classic album Cornbread, which sadly, unfortunately, like I said, he was taken from us at far too young an age, at the tender age of 33 in 1972, by his live-in girlfriend who had, I guess, gotten a little PO'd about something. I don't know the entire details. It's a little bit clouded in mystery. Sadly, he was taken from us at far too young. He was only, I think, 24 when he recorded that. Is he even 24? My goodness, yes, 24? Let me just check and see. I want to verify his birth date. He was born in 1938, and that was recorded in 1965. So, let's do the math on that. 38 to 48 is 10 to 58 is 20, 27? Yeah, very young. Young man, recorded a beautiful album, which, that was kind of overshadowed by his previous record, Sidewinder, which was, well, in the world of jazz, a monster hit. When it comes to sales and exposure, the composition Sidewinder and an album of the same name became a crossover hit on pop and R&B charts in 1964. So he did enjoy some fame and fortune for a short time before he was struck down at the age of 33. The late, great Lee Morgan. So changing things up just a little bit here. As I like to augment the show from time to time and be a little bit different from one artist to the next, I'm going to play a composition from Grant Green. This is from the album Sunday Morning. And the title of this track, this composition, is Freedom March, and this is the remastered version thereof. Sit back, relax, enjoy this music, and when I come back on the other side, I'll tell you all about Grant Green. Thank you. Sunday Morning, recorded in a single day on June 4th, 1961, the Van Gelder Studio in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. That was actually produced by Alfred Lion, of course engineered by RVG Rudy Van Gelder, the genius producer that he was. Engineer. This was remastered in 2005. The original record, the original tracks. Pretty amazing when you think they put out an entire record in a single day. That's just how accomplished these musicians were. Now, Grant Green was kind of an underrated guitar player in his day, but he's since become incredibly revered as time has marched on. Now, the composition you just heard, Freedom March, featured Kenny Drew on piano, Ben Tucker on the bass, and Ben Dixon on the drums. Three rather monstrous players in their day. Of course, the song didn't get the play that it should have, unfortunately, but you could understand at the time. Recorded in 61, released at the end of November in 1962. Quite a while ago. This was 62 years ago. So you can understand the times were quite a bit different then, so Freedom March not necessarily getting the play it deserved, probably due to the title of the record. But that's okay, because we've come to since appreciate the genius that was the late Grant Green. Now, Grant passed away in January 31st of 1975 due to a heart attack. He had been in and out of the hospital for most of the year, and against his doctor's advice, he decided he needed to go out on the road to earn some money. I mean, a musician, especially a jazz musician, really never made any money off the sales of records, except for maybe Miles Davis and John Coltrane. Oh, and Dave Brubeck Quartet, but for the most part, it was all about live performance, which is ironic because at the time, rock and roll musicians, it was all about selling records. You toured to sell a record back then. Today, it's the other way around. When it came to jazz artists, you played live so you could earn your keep. Times certainly have changed, eh? So, Grant Green, originally born in St. Louis, Missouri, to John and Martha Green, very, very, very farmer-sounding names, John and Martha. His father was at various times a laborer and a St. Louis police officer. He started studying guitar when he was in primary school and received early instruction in guitar playing from his father, who had also played blues and folk music. He studied for a year with Forrest Alcorn, but he was mostly self-taught, learning from just listening to records. I wish I could do that. I can occasionally pick out a chord or two when I'm trying to play from a record or a recording, but I'm just not a learn-by-ear player, unfortunately. I have to learn by chord boxes. I used to be able to read notes, but no more. So Grant Green's first recordings came about at the age of 28 in St. Louis with tenor saxophonist Jimmy Forrest for the United label, where he had played alongside drummer Elvin Jones, the great Elvin Jones. 1959, Lou Donaldson discovered Grant Green playing in a bar in St. Louis and hired him for his touring band. He then moved to New York sometime around 59, 1960. And Lou Donaldson introduced Grant Green to Alfred Lion of the Blue Note Records Company. From 1961 to 65, he was Blue Note's house guitarist. So instead of using him as a sideman, as was the Blue Note practice at the time, Lion arranged for him to record as a group leader. However, due to the lack of confidence Mr. Green had, some of his initial recording sessions were only released in 2001. So things that he recorded as a leader sat on the shelf for My goodness, almost 40 years. One of the great all-time players, the late, great Grant Green. You, of course, can follow him on the Spotify. He has about 327,000 monthly listeners. So if you want to search him out, he has some big audiences in Sao Paulo, Brazil, actually. London, Paris, New York, L.A., and Sao Paulo, where some of his largest listening audience resides. Mine, oddly enough, the listening audience for this show, of course, largely Canadian, but seems I have an audience that likes to listen to me in Singapore, of all places. So, thank you, Singapore, for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the music as much as I enjoy putting this show together for you. All right, next up on the docket is from the album Echoes of the Inner Prophet. This is Solitary Seeker from Melissa Aldana. I hope I pronounced her correct, name correctly, Aldana. Thank you. Melissa Aldana, originally from Santiago, Chile, recorded that album, or released that album, I should say, on April 5th of 2024, from the album Echoes of the Inner Prophet. That was Solitary Seeker, or sorry, I should say, The Solitary Seeker. Like to get things correct. Now, Melissa will be turning 36 on December 3rd of this year, so she's quite young, but incredibly accomplished for such a young woman who has been playing since she was but a little girl. She started to play the sax when she was only 6. I'm like, wow. So she's been playing for almost 30 years, which makes her a seasoned veteran of jazz and saxophone at the tender age of 36. I think we can expect a lot of releases from her in the future. Now, she's largely influenced by Charlie Parker and Cannonball Adderley, two of the biggest names in jazz. She said she started out playing alto sax, but once she heard Sonny Rollins, she switched over to tenor. First tenor saxophone she used was a Selmer Mark VI that had belonged to her grandfather. She started playing in jazz clubs in Santiago in her early teens. And in 2005, after meeting him on tour, she was invited by pianist Danilo Perez to play at the Panama Jazz Festival, as well as a number of auditions at music schools in the USA. As a result of these introductions, she went on to attend Berklee College of Music in Boston, where she was fell under the tutelage of Joe Lovano, amongst other musicians. She graduated from Berklee in 2009, relocated to New York City to study under George Coleman, and in 2013, at the age of 24, she was the first female musician and the first South American musician to win the Thelonious Monk International Jazz Saxophone Competition, which her father had actually been a semi-finalist in 1991. Prize was a $25,000 scholarship and a recording contract with Concord Jazz. Reporting her win, the Washington Post described Aldana as representing a new sense of possibility and direction in jazz. Well, I can't argue with that. She definitely has the skills, has the chops, as they say. A young woman, like I said, she'll be turning 36 in December of this year. And that is from her most recent record, Echoes of the Inner Prophet, I should say. Project Inner Prophet, Echoes of the Inner Prophet, released on April 5th, 2024 on the Blue Note Records label. She has a total of 7 albums, 6 of which as a band leader, and 1, her third album, titled Melissa Aldana and Crash Trio, which is on the Concord Jazz label. She's been with Blue Note Records since 2022, and I think she'll be there for a long time to come. So, as I continue to stumble over my tongue, I don't like it when that happens, but sometimes I do. I just get a little bit verklempt, if you will. Let's move it on and move it along to Dr. Lonnie Smith. From the album Breathe, this composition is titled Bright Eyes, and it is absolutely, positively liver than live. The great Dr. Lonnie Smith. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, the late great Dr. Lonnie Smith. I love the description of him on his Spotify page. A swashbuckling torchbearer for the funky soul jazz tradition. Dr. Lonnie Smith was a master of the Hammond B3 organ, whose classic recordings are often cited as a major influence on the electronic, hip-hop, and funk artists who followed him. Can't deny that. He played on Lou Donaldson. In the 1960s, he played alongside fellow soul jazz pioneers George Benson and saxophonist Lou Donaldson, the former of which appeared on the Dr. Lonnie Smith's debut album in 1967, Finger Lickin' Good. Same year, Lonnie Smith played on Donaldson's classic Blue Note album, Alligator Boogaloo, and then followed with several of his own sessions for the label, including 1968's Think with Lee Morgan. He recorded for CTI in the 1970s before taking a break from the music business, and along the way he adopted the title of Doctor, and unbeknownst to me as to why, but he began to wear a traditional Sikh turban. He just had a soulful persona. He returned to regular performing in the 90s, and sort of regained his prominence that he once held as one of the forefathers of crossover jazz. Now his albums, like I said, have influenced countless acid jazz performers, hip-hop artists, and DJs. He returned to the Blue Note label in 2016 and released several top 20 Billboard jazz albums. Prior to 2016, I should say. But he released several top 20 Billboard jazz albums, including 2016's Evolution and 2021's Breathe with, of all people, the godfather of punk, Iggy Pop. Not even joking. I'm dead serious. Now, he was born originally in Buffalo, New York, back in 1942, and, you know, made his way along the up and down the East Coast playing juke joints and ginned-out jazz clubs. I just made that line up, ginned-out jazz clubs. I just like how it sounded in my head. I don't know if it works very good in reality, but I can kind of dig it. Sadly, Lonnie Smith passed away on September 28th, 2021, at the age of 79 due to pulmonary fibrosis. We did get a lot of great music out of the man, and he influenced so many people. You might be surprised to learn that he performed a cover of Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, featuring guest vocalist Alicia Olatuja. I hope I pronounced her name correctly. And as well, he did a take on Wayne Shorter's Juju in that same track list. The man was prolific, even though he did take a few years off, stepped away from the spotlight and the limelight, as some artists often do when they just get tired of the business aspect of business, of the music business, I should say. Because after all, it is a business. Although we love to listen to the music and have those folks entertain us, sometimes the business end of things can take a toll on their emotional state and requires them to step away for a little bit, get a bit of a breather in, sort of survive the tumultuous times. Okay, I will get off my soapbox and get back to the music. From the album Night Dreamer, from the 2004 Rudy Van Gelder remaster, this is Virgo from Wayne Shorter. Thank you. The late, great Wayne Shorter. What a magnificent player he once was. Mr. Wayne Shorter passed away March 2nd, 2023, at the age of 89. American jazz saxophonist, composer, and band leader. Came to mainstream prominence in 1959 after joining Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers, and he eventually became the primary composer for them. 1964, he joined Miles Davis's second great quintet, and then co-founded the jazz fusion band Weather Report in 1970. He recorded more than 20 albums as a band leader. A great number of his compositions have become jazz standards. His work has earned both worldwide recognition and critical praise, universal commendation, and 12 Grammy Awards. He was acclaimed for his mastery of the soprano sax and switching his focus from the tenor in the late 1960s, and beginning an extended reign in 1970 as Downbeat magazine's annual poll winner on that instrument, winning the Critics' Poll for 10 consecutive years, and the Readers for 18. New York Times music critic Ben Ratliff described Shorter in 2008 as probably jazz's greatest living small group composer and a contender for the greatest living improviser. In 2017, he was awarded the Polar Music Prize, which is different than the Polaris Music Prize. The Polar Music Prize is a Swedish international award founded in 1989 by Stig Andersson. Stig was known as the manager of the Swedish band that I'm sure you've heard of these guys, ABBA. Yes. Yeah. The award is annually given to one contemporary musician and one classical musician. Exceptions were made in 2001 when it was awarded to three musicians, one composer, one contemporary, and one inventor. In 2003, when it was only awarded to one musician. There's no restrictions on nationality. It's come to be known as the Nobel Prize of Music in Sweden. Now, the awards were first presented in 1992. Recipients then were Sir Paul McCartney and the three Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. Each of the awardees were awarded 1 million krona, which is about $120,000 US at the 2016 rate, $94,000 at the 2024 rate. So, you know, buying power has changed over the years. Wayne Shorter, originally from Newark, New Jersey, he graduated from Newark Arts High School in 1952. He loved comic books and science fiction, as well as music growing up. He was encouraged by his parents to take clarinet lessons at age 16 and then switched to tenor sax prior to enrolling at New York University in 1952. His older brother played alto sax before switching to the trumpet in college, and while in high school, he also performed with the Nat Phipps Band in Newark. After graduating from New York University with a degree in music in 1956, he spent 2 years in the U.S. Army, during which time he played briefly with the late great Horace Silver. After his discharge, he played with Maynard Ferguson. He acquired the nickname Mr. Gone, which later became an album title for Weather Report, which was a jazz fusion band he helped found. He was with Miles Davis for 6 years, from 1964 to 1970, and the master writer to me in that group was Wayne Shorter. This is what Herbie Hancock has to say about it. He is still a master. Wayne is one of the few people who brought music to Miles that didn't get changed. Wayne is a real composer. He writes scores, writes the parts for everybody, just as he wants them to sound. Wayne also brought a kind of curiosity about working with musical rules. If they didn't work, then he broke them. But with musical sense, he understood that freedom in music was the ability to know the rules in order to bend them to your own satisfaction and tastes. That is from the man himself, the late, great Miles Davis. There are so many accolades and words of appreciation for Wayne Shorter, who was a brilliant composer, artist, recorder, player, you name it. Every accolade he has soundly earned and deserves. Sadly, he passed away at, well, the age of 89, which is not exactly young. It's, you know, definitely approaching the ninth decade of life. Sad that he died, but it would have been great if he could have played a little bit longer. Unfortunately, I guess time caught up to him. I do not know what his cause of death was. It may have simply been old age and the old body just gave out on him. But he had played with literally everybody in music. It's just an amazing impresario, player, performer, teacher. Okay, So that's about it for today, folks. Thank you for bearing with me, and again, I apologize for taking so long to get back to the studio to record another show. Life does get busy sometimes, I know you all understand that, and considering the state of the world today, I just, you know, I think it's time that I get back into the studio more frequently and deliver more of this to you, so that you can have a little bit of an escape from time to time. 1 hour a day, a little bit of jazz, and try and give you the most soothing voice I possibly can. Until we meet again, my friends, this has been Songs and Stories, Supplemental Jazz Edition, Part 86. I hope to see you again real soon. You take care now. Bye.